Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And this week on the podcast, it is audience choice time. We are covering a Goofy movie.
Because there was going to be a riot.
Yeah, Goofy movie or we riot was our patron's response.
I love it so much.
Yeah, overwhelming favorite here.
I can see why, though.
I was like, we needed to have covered this movie.
Oh, what a clap. Like, it's just fun. I don't know. It just feels so fun. It hums along. It's Nostalgia City.
You remember this from when you were a kid?
Oh, of course I do. Yes, yeah. Absolutely I do. What about you?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I remember watching the after school cartoon, The Goof Troop. Goofy and Max and things like that. And I remember when this came out, I was actually like pretty excited to see it. And have not thought of it since.
I don't think I've watched this movie in probably,
25 years probably for me at this point.
Yeah, 95. maybe like 18, 20 years for me. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's been a while, but like rewatching it, I was like, oh man, this is way better than it has any right to be.
Yes! Yes. I mean, like, if you start... Anyway, we'll get into it. If you start dissecting things, it's a lot of fun to do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Our point of view. But, like, as far as just, like, watching it and enjoying it and just letting it go, like, wow, it's fun. It's so fun.
And it's tight, as you were saying, too. Just real good 90 minutes.
It's not even 90. It's like an hour 20.
Is it?
Yes.
Great.
This movie is so quick. It feels like an episode of TV. I'm like, this
it
is
really
great.
Does.
So much happens. So much happens.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen a Goofy movie, basically what happens is it's Goofy. You know Goofy. Disney's Goofy.
Yeah.
And in this universe, he is a single father to his son, Max, who from the TV show has been aged up to now be in high school. And they live next door to Pete, who is kind of Goofy's historical nemesis. And Pete's son, PJ. We start on the last day of school. Max wants to impress this girl, Roxanne, but everyone thinks that he's a goofy loser. He decides, him and his friends, they stage this this show, I guess is what you call it, this musical number during the principal's like year-end address where they pretend to be Powerline, who in this universe is like kind of like a Michael Jackson, like, pop star style.
I was getting hard Prince vibes.
Prince, yeah, yeah. There's like, yeah. Prince, yeah, that kind of like R&B superstar kind of thing. So it's Powerline. So he dresses up as this guy and does this like incredible dance number in front of the people. He obviously gets in trouble for it because he's upstaging the principal. Principal calls Goofy and is like, man, your son is headed to the electric chair, which we'll get into whether how that's absolutely ridiculous in a bit. But Goofy gets this call. And meanwhile, he's having this conversation with Pete about how, you know, his son is good and never gets in any trouble and doesn't really need to worry about him. And Pete's like, man, no, you got to take your son like father-son camping trip, like get that kid. Otherwise, he's going to turn against you, you know. And then Goofy gets the call, like, your son's in trouble. He's going to the electric chair.
That killed me. That's so funny. So, the electric. Anyway, sorry.
So Goofy decides he's going to take Max on this like epic road trip that he went on with his father fishing. So this follow this map to this fishing spot. But meanwhile, Max has like gotten the courage to ask Roxanne out. The ploy worked. The dance worked. She's into him. They're going to go to this party, and he has to cancel on her because his dad's taking him on this fishing trip. And she's like, well, maybe I'll go with someone else. And he's like, no, I'm going to get on stage at that concert. That's where my dad's taking me. So he lies for no reason. And she's like, well, I'll watch you on the TV then. And when you're on stage, that'll be it for us. So then Max is like, well, fuck, what am I going to do? He doesn't say, oh, fuck, because it's a kid's cartoon. and so they go on this big, long road trip, and they encounter Bigfoot, and they do all kinds of, like, fun stuff. They stop at the Possum Amusement Park at some point. Lots of kind of typical goofy hijinks with, you know, wheels flying off cars and all the rest. And it turns into this, like, kind of, like, really nice father-son moment at the end. And, oh, sorry, I should mention, this is very important. Max changes the map to go to L.A. rather than the thing when his dad is sleeping. And Pete finds out about it because they keep running into each other on this camping trip, tells Goofy. Goofy has, like, basically a breakdown being, like, which... And there's this moment where he's, like, which way, son? Like, do we follow the original route or go to L.A.? Then they have a big blowout over it. They finally reconcile. Goofy decides, you know what? Let's get this kid on stage at Powerline. They get him on stage. Roxanne sees him. They come back. Max tells the truth that he never really did know Powerline. All the rest, they kiss. Max hayucks, which Roxanne finds so charming. And it's like the end. And that's like, it's real tight. Real tight.
Yeah, it's a slamming movie. Slamming. Love it.
And speaking of it being tight, I just want to say this right now before I forget about it. That part about getting on stage at the Powerline concert,
yeah,
even though that's like kind of the point of the movie, is like literally a 30-second montage.
And it's so good.
It's so good. But this movie knows, it's like by the time Max and Goofy have had that heart-to-heart, the movie is over. Like, we know, like, the movie isn't about getting on stage with this rock star. The movie is about Goofy and Max. Mm-hmm. So we need to show you this so the story is complete. But the movie is absolutely not about this scene.
Yeah, for sure.
Which
even
I
though
love.
It's kind of about this scene.
Yeah. But I was like, I don't mind that this is short. I've gotten everything I need out of this movie already.
Oh, absolutely. It needs nothing more. There's no fat on it. It's perfect. There's no need.
Yeah, so I guess, like, I mean, this is actually a weird one. Who do you consider to be the villain of this movie?
Okay, so I think we've got just, like, some light villains kind of sprinkled throughout. I think we've got, obviously, the principal's a villain. Mm-hmm. I would argue that Pete's a villain.
Yeah, both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would argue.
Historically and a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and I would also argue Bigfoot's a villain.
Okay, interesting.
He has to be, right?
Yes, he is. He is definitely an opposing force in this movie. I'm even going to go so far as to say, and again, the movie doesn't quite believe this, but I think from Max's perspective, Goofy is the villain as well. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Goofy is the one who's, like, taking him away from his girlfriend. He's being unreasonable. Goofy is
the
one that
but Max is the one that's supposed to learn the lesson, right? Goofy. Whereas I actually strongly believe Goofy is the one that needs to learn the lesson here.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, we're going, buddy.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I got some hot Goofy movie opinions. Okay? Because Goofy's a bad dad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We're getting into it. No, this is where we're starting. All right.
Okay. No, we're going to start with Goofy's a bad dad. Okay. First of all, if anybody should get the electric chair, Goofy, at minimum, driver's license revoked. Okay. He's a menace on the road.
Yeah. I mean,
he causes pure destruction. Okay. He shouldn't be allowed. He should never drive his son.
No.
He should never drive his son anywhere. They almost die 16 times.
Yeah, you're right.
Goofy
is not the Disney character I want with the driver's license the most.
No. Okay.
Donald Duck, close second. That guy was road rage to hell. Like, Mickey, I think, would be fine. Mickey's checking blind spots. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mickey's just, no. anyway, so what am I saying? Okay, yeah, Goofy's a bad dad. Okay, first of all, okay, and I love... This is just me just taking all the fun out of the movie. So just if I just want you to know that I love this movie and it's super fun and I don't strongly believe anything I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. Okay. That's where I'm at right now. Vacuuming up clothes is not efficient. Okay. You cannot either A, continue to throw out belongings, or B, dust shit up when you're doing it. He doesn't know how to clean.
He does not.
I also think he might not know how to read. I mean,
here's the thing. You're not saying anything that's not Goofy.
This is why I'm just saying, yeah. I don't think Goofy should be a dad.
Well, and I would disagree. I think whoever at Disney decided that Goofy has such strong single dad energy was a fucking genius.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because like traditionally, like, and how Goofy was presented, like in like the old cartoon shorts, was Goofy was always this guy who was like in these how-to shorts. Right? Where it was like Goofy, they're like, how to go fishing. How to go fishing is actually the famous one, which is actually why that them going on a fishing trip is nice.
Right.
The cast and all the rest. But like for someone to look at that and they go, hey, Goofy as a dad, trying real hard, can't get anything right. Yeah. I want to see that as a single dad. Do we want to see Goofy married? Absolutely not. That is a nightmare for that woman. Do we want to see Goofy with a kid? Absolutely we do.
You're so funny. Okay, here's my next point for why Goofy's a bad dad. Okay. I think Goofy's a bad dad because if one person called my dad and was like, your daughter's heading for the electric chair, he would tell them to get fucked. Okay. Like, there's no way he's just like, right, that's where she's going immediately. Like, this guy has literally zero trust in his own son. One man calls you? One man.
The principal of
one man.
The principal of his school.
One man.
After
a concert. Okay. Nah, dude. Like, I'm at least asking why. You know what I mean?
Yes,
I'm at least like, so what happened? And then I can form my own opinion in that moment.
Yeah.
Maybe not straight to get fucked, but we're not far. Okay, we're get fucked adjacent, at least. Okay. Yeah. That's an insane statement. I don't start spinning out my whole life immediately because one person tells me one thing.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of took that as like Goofy in that moment had faith. And that's the conversation that's literally happening right before he gets the call, which is that he has faith that Max is a good kid and doesn't get into trouble. Mm-hmm. And then he literally gets the call saying, your kid's in trouble and the most trouble at this school. So I get like why he's like, oh, I got to do something because I'm losing this kid. And, you know, it's all tied up in like Max growing up and not wanting to be his dad, which, by the way, I get.
Oh, we all understand.
We all understand. But also if your dad is Goofy and like there's such a great scene at the beginning of the movie where like Max is like running to get ready for the like first day of school. And he's like kind of tripping over things. And like you can tell that it's not just like a whoa, whoa, whoa. It's like, I can't believe I let myself fall down because that's like what my dad does. I can't believe I let myself because that's what my dad does.
Yeah.
Like that nightmare at the beginning of it where it's just like he's having what I can only describe as a sex dream. the movie opens on Max the dog having a sex dream about another dog.
So funny.
And then like she goes in to kiss him and he like his teeth grow and his feet get big and he turns into Goofy, which like, you know, the nightmare of turning into your father. You know, I'm sure people have had that.
Is that where all your sex dreams start, in a field? Is that what you're like, obviously?
Yeah, I don't have a good imagination. Aren't all your dreams set in a field with no horizon? You know how you go to sleep at night and you just stand there in a field for 8 hours? That's what happens to normal people, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes a tit just walks in and you're like, this is a sex dream now.
What?
I don't know what this world is. Disembodied.
Just one tit. Yeah. Oh my God. What the fuck is happening right now?
I'm describing my dreams.
Just
to you.
A tit in a field.
They talk like the adults from the Peanut cartoon.
What?
Wah, 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 wah.
How did this get weirder? I didn't think. I don't know how this is possible. You just keep upping it. And I keep thinking we're capped. Anyway.
That's the second. He's worried about being his dad. And, like, so you get that conflict right away. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like, I understand
sure.
why
No trust, though. Okay, that's what I'm saying. I feel like no trust. Come on.
I would say trust.
Like, how old is Max?
I'm going to guess, like, 15. Because, like, if he was 16, they probably would have had him, like, driving on the trip.
Okay.
Right? I'm just guessing.
I don't know how old he is. 13, maybe?
Well, he's in high school, for
sure. Is he in high school? Is that high school? Oh, that's right. They've got it. There's no... Now that I'm thinking of all the characters, very clearly that's high school. So, yeah, he'd be, like, 15, maybe 16.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah, no, I think when you're... Okay, and this is actually going to launch off into my next point here of why Goofy's a bad dad.
Okay.
Okay, I think when you're 15, 16... You absolutely have to have some sort of agency over your own life, where you're going, what you're doing, little planning, these sorts of things. There's no planet where you should just be able to pack me up unless you are like the best thing of all time. You know what I mean? Unless it's my dream trip.
Yeah.
There is no reason why this can't wait 1 week. I got plans.
Yeah, you're right there.
You have a little agency over your own life. Okay, yeah. Just a little bit. I'm not saying Max doesn't go a little too far. You know what I mean? Like, he's a little... He's got to embrace himself a little bit, be less embarrassed. I mean, we all have to learn that lesson at one point or another. We're all, you know, embarrassed by our parents at one point, and then you grow up and you're like, oh, no, it's so fun to be embarrassing. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's
the best. I love walking around being embarrassing. I don't know why parents aren't doing that 24 hours a day. If I ever have kids, God help them. God help them. Oh, it's going to... Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no,
we're
going to
have some fun. You know what I mean? Yeah. This is a be yourself establishment. Come as you are.
Okay, so I don't disagree with the agency thing, but I also think... And by the way, I'm framing Goofy as the villain in this so I can argue that the villain was absolutely right, which is that is a wonderful road trip to take your son on. That is so generous. You are 20 years from now, which it is, from this movie. What do you think Max is going to remember? Do you think he's going to remember going to a high school party? Mm. Or do you think he's going to remember the fucking epic road trip that his father and him went on?
Let me reframe this.
It is the road trip.
Okay, let me reframe this. Okay. A crazed man abducts his son, takes out his own fence and a fire hydrant, and after committing these crimes, flees town.
He's a bad driver. I will give you, he is a bad driver. I don't think my defense of Goofy in any of this has to do with competence. I think the fact that his name is Goofy is going to be this. But here's the thing I do love about Goofy. Okay. And is that Goofy is one of the most traditionally dressed, not traditionally, he is traditionally one of the most dressed Disney characters. And that... As the little tit walking through a field prude that I am, that appeals to me so much. Yes, none of this fucking Donald Duck shit walking around with his pants off. No, this Mickey Mouse strutting around.
Oh, my God.
Walking around without a shirt on. You're walking around without a shirt on in these little, like, button-up shorts, you weirdo. You put shoes and no shirt on. Goofy is the only one who gets served in a restaurant. He's got pants. Yeah. He's got shoes. He's got a shirt, a vest. Traditionally, he's worn that little hat. Not in this movie. But
he's even
okay.
got a like. It's even close to a turtleneck. I'd call it.
Yeah, he's
he's not even showing neck
and gloves. Gloves. This is a man. Man and his son. Every single person in this is fully gloved the entire time. And they are gloves. They're not their hands because they do take them off when they go swimming. You know, that's why I like Goofy. That's none of this. Goofy walks in at the beginning of the movie wearing a towel. And I was like, yeah, you're covering something.
Yeah, that's
like Donald Duck walks in wearing a towel. And you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's very fair.
And by God, okay, is he correct in this? The father-son trip is a thing. I've done it. It's great. I went on a canoe trip with my dad a couple of them out in the Magnetawan River up in like northern Ontario. We like had to carry like 60 pounds of bannock like over a portage. It was great. I remember it. And like all the things that they are doing are absolutely great. Like, first of all, I'll start with the Lester's Possum Park.
Okay, great.
Because you just said weird stuff is great, right?
That is absolutely true, yes.
Can you imagine, okay, you have kids or you're going there with mm-hmm. your parents and they take you to this fucking janky animatronic possum thing? That is so cheesy. It is so fun.
Like, you know what? You are right.
Yeah.
100% I'm on board for that trip. It's like one of those things where it feels like Max is right. You know that like period of time where you're too cool and you're yes. too anxious and everything sucks and whatever. He's just in that pot. This kid's like, whatever, 3 years out of being like, oh, this is the sickest day.
Exactly. And then you go, I'm going to take my kids here because it's so fucking cheesy. They need to experience this. And on top of that, I'm going to also give Goofy way more credit than he deserves here. And this is a bit of a deep dive. But like when they're playing 20 questions in the car, right, there's this kind of very hilarious bit where the only person that either of them can think of is Walt Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which is funny. But that also means that in this world, Goofy knows who Walt Disney is.
Okay. is this right? another like no, last name origin
no,
story?
No, not quite like that. But it does mean that like presumably in this world, Goofy at some point worked for Walt Disney as like, you know, as like an actor kind of thing. So he's like very aware of what I will call the Disney kind of cultural monopoly. That has gotten even worse since those days, right? Like, right now it's like Disney owns everything. They own Marvel, they own everything. Where, like, a lot of American culture can be predominated by Disney properties, right? So for Goofy to be somebody who is so intimate with, like, that culture, and clearly not working there anymore in this universe, right? He works at a photo booth. For him to like go out and be like, this is actually culture? Like this is America in a certain way? Like it's not Avengers and Mickey Mouse cartoons. It's Lester's Possum Palace. Like, you know?
I don't know if I do.
It's like it's important for you to see these roadside attractions so that you don't think all of society and all people are like the Avengers Unite live stunt mm-hmm. show at the, you know, at the Megaplex or whatever. I'm just saying. It's a good thing to get into.
Okay, so why don't we talk about some of the like stronger villains,
yeah,
let's
okay,
say.
Okay, okay, okay.
Instead of, because I don't know, I'm going to spend an hour talking about how Goofy's a bad dad. Okay, so we've got, let's start with maybe the principal.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got this principal. It's the last day of school. He just wants it to be done.
Yep.
People destroy property. They endanger the lives of students.
They put him on a string and swing him out over the audience. Yeah, that is absolutely endangering.
No, of course it is. Yeah. Like, there's no
Max
way.
Max and whoever he lands on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because like,
you know
think...
they're not qualified to rig.
Oh, I don't think Bobby is qualified. I think that...
Pauly Shore?
Yeah.
The Pauly Shore kid?
No, 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 no.
Where I was like, is this really Pauly Shore or someone doing a Pauly Shore impression?
No, no,
impression?
No, it's Pauly Shore. It's Pauly Shore. Oh, and geez. I'm like 99% sure that a can of cheese is a metaphor for a bag of weed.
Okay. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
come on now. When you see the bag it comes in, I'm like, that's a bag of weed there. Yeah, yeah. Listen to the way this man speaks. Okay. That's done. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there's no way that guy's rigging up anything properly. We're endangering students. Now, should he have said, your son's heading to the electric chair? Prob's not. That seems like a bit of a leap. I'm going to say it. Okay.
In his defense, in the principal's defense, I will say Max did kind of re-up Because Roxanne comes in and they ask each other out while he's waiting to go into the principal. And Max is so excited that he starts like dancing with the secretary. So that's like, right. It's kind of like a, you know, like you try something, you get caught.
Yeah.
I get it, man. You got to try. Mm. You try something while you're in custody, fuck off. Like,
I just can't imagine looking at a 15-year-old going, the electric chair.
Especially that guy, you know?
Okay, I do have a question for you about the principal, because he mentioned something kind of on the in-between. He's kind of giving the kids a pep talk of what they could be doing in the summer. And it made me think of a question for you, because he said... I think you probably know where I'm going. Science slumber parties. Now, I was thinking, what would a little Craig Faye science slumber party look like? What would be your pitch for the best science slumber party?
I mean, part of me is insulted that you think, like, I spent my summer vacations being a fucking nerd. Like.
Oh, no, I mean, like, if you were like, to invent one right now.
But absolutely, I would. It's like, how dare you insinuate that I'm the kind of kid who was like, I need to get ahead on my reading for the summer break. No, I was running around having fun. Science slumber party, for sure, like some sort of candy chemistry. You know what I mean? Woo! I don't know how you do this, but like, you know, mix two chemicals together and it like foams up into like a marshmallow. That'd be great.
You can make like, what's it called? Like almost like honeycomb kind of thing, like that toffee stuff, because you put like baking soda in it and it like bubbles up.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Yeah. I don't know how to do that.
Or like pulling toffee, taffy, because that's got to be at like a certain temperature. I would argue that maybe all candy making is scientific candy making.
100% it is. So is baking, if you really want to get into it. But also like a card castle competition. Here's like a bunch of like straws and like silly putty and make like the strongest bridge, or like get the bridge to go as far as you can, you know?
Okay.
You ever do that? A whole bunch of straws together and try and get them hanging out as long as you can?
Yeah, in class.
Yeah. But like, you know, just
science. I like that.
A little, maybe a little like astronomy nightlight, you know, that shines onto the ceiling.
What would be your movie pick? You got to have a movie pick on a slumber party, right? Science slumber party. What's the movie pick?
The one that jumped up to me right away, Back to the Future.
I feel that.
Or what's another really good one where the scientists are the heroes? I know we've covered a bunch, but like Ghostbusters as well.
That's a
fun one. Mm-hmm. You know, Ninja Turtles is chemistry, presumably, and that was always like a sleepover stayover for me in the 89
that's
or
great.
91. Yeah.
Dude, I go to that slumber party. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
So to say, I feel like this principal's actually pitching a pretty cool idea.
You won me over there. I'm excited for the science slumber party. The principal is a villain because of the way he reacts to this, though.
I just
need to like lay out how this conversation actually needs to go and how Max could have easily just gotten out of trouble with this.
Okay.
Where it's just the real conversation that would happen would be, I did it to impress a girl and it worked. And then I'd be like, well, then I guess it was worth it. Like, if I was that principal, I'd be like, you can't be interrupting me when I'm on stage. And the conversation you have with Goofy at that point would go like, listen, your son was very disruptive today and very disrespectful to me, my time, and the student's time. Clearly, he has a lot of talent and a promising future in live production. I think you and I need to work on channeling that energy into a productive and less disruptive way. But your son has otherwise been a privilege to have in the class, because he seems smart, right?
Yeah, and I love a good channel.
Yeah.
You got to channel that energy. It's all about channeling.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You can't stop it. You can only deflect it.
No, for sure.
Send it off in the right direction. Because, like, I do not know an adult, like, who would be like, how fucking dare you? Mad at a kid, and if the kid was like, well, you know what, I did it to impress a girl and it worked, and they'd be like, okay, but don't do that again.
I would turn around in my chair, like, just go, okay, I guess, like, Yeah, you can't fault him. Yeah.
And I think actually Max miscalculated the start of it. Because Max does this thing and like they act like when the principal grabs him and pulls him off stage, like it's the performance has been ruined and Max will no longer impress Roxanne. That was exactly the move from the get-go. You got to be the guy who gets caught. You know what I mean? Like if he just walks off stage and is like, you guys won't know who I am. That doesn't impress her. The fact that he did it, it wasn't allowed and he got caught. That's what impressed her.
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah.
You need to get caught. And he wasn't smart enough to realize that was part of the plan. The principal did him a favor.
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure. No, he absolutely needed to get demasked on that. Yeah, absolutely. Just as a little side note. Do you know what Max's last name is?
Goof.
Yeah. Which would imply that
Goofy is Goofy Goof.
Yeah. I needed one of us to say it just out loud, right quick.
And is this a good time to talk about the somewhat controversial word of Goofy? You don't know this?
No. Okay.
Goofy in prison speak.
What?
It means somebody who is a child, somebody who abuses children. So, and Rebecca, the only reason I know this is I was at a comedy club and somebody, here's the thing. I have an opinion about this too.
We've checked up on this. We've Googled it.
I haven't, but the story I'm about to tell is pretty much proof that it exists in some corners of the world, which is that I was at a comedy club up in Ottawa and, people were having some drinks. And one of the wait staff called one of the kitchen guys a goof. He's like, what are you doing, man? You're being a fucking goof. And the kitchen guy nearly stabbed the waiter, the wait staff guy. He was like, you want to go? Like, you don't call me that. Because he had been to prison and knew that, like, if someone calls you that, that's what they're saying. And, like, it was a thing where the entire staff had to, like, come out and talk this guy down. Like, did he fly off the handle? Yes. Had he had too much to drink? Yes. Did he have a knife on him? Yes. But here's my thing. That's going to be a thing that you fly off the handle and stab a guy about, we all need to know that. You know, that can't just be like, I've been to prison thing. Anyway, sorry, that took a weird turn.
Yeah, that did take a weird turn. I did Google it while you were talking. I had to scroll down, but I did find what you were talking about.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, it can't just be a word that everyone else is like, you little goof,
out in nature.
And then that mean something so bad in prison talk and assume that everyone's been to prison. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. That's a lot to unpack.
Anyway, a Goofy movie, everybody. I apologize. This has been all over the place.
This has been a real tit in a field, if you know what I'm saying. all right, so let's go on to Pete, right? Pete's like kind of his classic opposing force.
Exactly.
Let's say that.
And very much in the cartoon, Pete's the guy who moved in. They move in next door to Pete, and like Pete's kind of the guy who Goofy's hijinks always blow up in Pete's face.
Yeah.
You know, like Pete tries to outsmart him, and then Goofy ends up destroying his house or something like that. Like, it's Pete is the instigator and the receiver of a lot of Goofy stuff.
For sure. And we kind of start like Pete's Goofy's boss.
Yep.
Right. They both work at the photo hut at the mall kind of situation.
They're taking baby photos.
Pete's his boss. I mean, we kind of start with a little light smacking around. But my argument here is going to be, because I was like, that's probably not great. But my argument here is that violence doesn't matter in this universe.
A little bit, yeah.
It actually doesn't matter. Like, we watch Goofy fall through a roof. He penetrates, like, some benches at a, like, baseball game to get him to sign it. Like,
yeah.
There's, like, a lot of stuff he does comedically that would literally kill somebody. So I'm going to make the argument here that getting slapped around a little bit actually doesn't matter in this universe. It's just how they talk to each other.
Yeah, I don't even recall him slapping him around. That's how used to it I am.
Yeah, it's Pete. He's doing his thing. Then we have, okay, to kind of go through like the stuff that Pete does. So then Pete encourages him to take his son out.
Yeah, which...
which is solid advice.
Yeah. Okay. Father-son bonding. Yep.
He doesn't say tomorrow. He just says, when, you know what I mean? Take him out.
Yeah. And this is also a conversation that they're having as Goofy gets this call at work being like, Max is in trouble. So this is literally just like, there's nothing actually malicious about that conversation. No. Where it's just like, I'm taking my son, your son's friend and neighbor, out on this father-son road trip. Camping trip, you should think about doing the same. Helps keep them out of trouble, which absolutely it does. Well, not if you're Goofy, I guess. Trouble follows Goofy everywhere, but like keeps Max out of trouble.
Yeah. So then we have Pete tells him, like, because they kind of meet up down the road, right?
Yeah. Then Pete's got this comically big RV.
Yeah, he's got this huge RV and he's telling him you got to keep your kid in line, like literally like PJ's cleaning. And every time I see this scene of PJ cleaning, I'm like, this is how I clean. Like, this is literally, this is how I clean. I'm all about music and cleaning. That's all. I'm in my own zone and I've got things coming out of my pockets and I'm all over the place and it doesn't matter what I'm doing. We're just cleaning and I'm bopping. We're cleaning and bopping. I'm singing. It's not good. Nobody likes it. My neighbors hate me. yeah, dude. Okay. So this kid's, I'm not going to say Pete's a good dad, but I'm going to make the argument he's a better dad than Goofy.
Okay.
PJ's in line. All right. He's doing shit. He's under control. He seems like a great kid. He seems happy. He doesn't seem like...
Yeah.
He's not upset at any point. His dad lets him do shit.
Yeah.
I don't see any issue with that.
Well, and I would say that Goofy and Pete are equivalent dads. Because if we're just judging by their kids, PJ was also involved in the concert stuff.
Yeah.
He was involved in that. He also got in trouble for this.
Yeah, he did.
Right? So, like, those kids are getting in trouble no matter what. And there's actually a great scene here where he, like, Pete says, you got to keep your kid under your thumb. Otherwise, you know, they're going to end up in the gutter, which is like he says when he's bowling, and it's not a very good bowling analogy. But then there's this great exchange where it's like Goofy goes, well, I want my son to love me. And he goes, yeah, well, my son respects me. And it's like, you know what, guys? It can be both.
Yeah.
It can be both. And probably both of you need a little bit more of the other.
Oh, for sure. There is a reason there are no women around here.
Yes.
There are no women.
Because if Goofy has a wife, this becomes a horror movie.
Dude, that's so true.
The treatment of that woman
is so true.
Trapped in a relationship with that man is terrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I wouldn't. Neither of those men. No, neither of those men. That's where I'm at for sure.
Yeah. Although in the cartoon, Pete had a wife and like a little girl and a dog. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, kind of worked. She was like, come on, Pete. Like,
love that. Okay, so then we get to Pete telling Goofy that he overheard the kids talking about how Max changed the map.
Yes.
He had to tell him.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, he had to tell him. That's not a malicious thing. It's like, yo, I heard that. Now, is he all too pleased to tell him for sure?
There's a little bit of pleasure there, but that's just because Goofy is being such an intolerable fuck about it.
Yeah.
Where he's like, because they're in the hot tub, right? And Goofy's like, well, I don't know. It's like, I stopped taking your advice. The more I just let up and let kind of Max do his own thing, the better it's been going. And he goes, I don't know, Goof. I think the kid's trying to pull a fast one on you. And he goes, no, I trust Max. He's like, I overheard. He changed the map. Like, he's fucking with you, man. You know? Like, and Goofy was so sure that, like, Max is perfect and, you know, nothing could go wrong. And Pete's got to be like, yeah, man, you're not doing this well.
Dude, I'm telling you, if a pencil changes your whole map route, there was a 50% chance you were going to end up there anyway.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You can't read signs. I mean, you don't know what's going on.
There's loops okay. in those.
No, there's yeah. literally no way you could ever miss where you need to go. Yeah. So like if there was a big chance, if you were like, oh, this was the thing, then again, like I said, 50% chance you were going to end up there anyway.
Excellent point. Yeah. And also I will say like the rest of that road trip slapped like yeah. up to that point mm-hmm. we were talking. So after the possum park or whatever, Lester's Possum Park, they hit up a monster truck rally. They hit up a baseball game. They hit up an amusement park with roller coasters. Like, that's a great road trip. It's yeah. a really good road trip.
They watch a man get slammed by a piano and walk away.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Violence doesn't matter in this universe.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay, it has no consequence. The yes. And the piano falls on a mime.
That's what I'm saying. There's no consequence to violence.
That's true.
Okay. Otherwise, they wouldn't be having a fight while they're going down a waterfall. You know what I mean? They probably have a little more panic happening.
Yeah, the stakes, the physics of this are like their bones are rubber.
Yeah, yeah, we're fine. Yeah. Okay, we're all jellyfish. Somehow we can be upright. It's yeah. okay.
We
don't worry about it.
We experience pain, but it's kind of like a laugh where you hurt, where you laugh. You know, you laugh too hard. That kind of pain.
Yeah,
that's what they experience. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So to say, I don't think violence matters. I don't think Pete was that bad.
No, I actually remember Pete being, and maybe this is from the show, being way more conniving.
And yeah, like literally he does nothing to derail anything.
He shows up and gives some like pretty decent parenting advice.
Yeah, and takes some of the power from the room they've already paid for.
Ooh, it's the hotel.
Yeah.
The hotel will pay for it.
Drain it.
You have kind of an obnoxiously large RV.
Yeah.
Whatever. The other thing I want to say about Pete was when Pete's like, you need to put your foot down, okay, and like command some respect. And then that's when Max is like, I don't want to go fishing right now. This is stupid. And Goofy goes, get your fishing gear right now. We're going fishing right now. And he actually does put his foot down. And you know what? It works. They go fishing.
Yes.
Like Max stops being a little dick about it and they go fishing.
Great point. Learns a great life skill.
Yeah.
Learns the perfect cast.
He learns the perfect cast, which comes literally saves yeah. his father's life later. And also, it's not their fault that they snag Bigfoot. You know, like that's just kind of proof that that is a really good cast. Also, great story to tell about your road trip with your dad. How many people can say they found Bigfoot?
yeah. Great way to have people call you nuts for the rest of your life.
Yeah. But sure, also, sure. like when you do that, when Goofy learns, like, I need to be hard at times and I need to be soft at times, that's a big lesson for him. Because it is, Max still is just a child. And he's going to be whiny and stupid and he's going to give lip, you know? And you got to be like, enough of that, mister. This is what we're doing.
So I'm going to give one more point on why I think Goofy's a bad dad. And this is the big one for me because this is like, this is only redeemed because at the very, very end, there's like a small lesson learned.
Okay.
But the answer to you lied to a girl isn't make the lie true. It's not the lesson that needs to be learned by anybody.
You're right.
The lesson here shouldn't have been, well, we're going to get you to that concert or we're going to make it happen. Now, of course, I prefer that because that makes for a much better movie and it's endlessly entertaining. But if you dissect it, it's like, nah, that shouldn't be. It should be like, okay, so you should be honest, da 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 da. Like, you got to let her know. We can call her. Let's call her on the road, whatever. You can let her know. Maybe we'll try and get tickets because you want to go so bad. But, like, you know what I mean? There's somewhere in the middle that's not, like, I don't know. Because the whole lie
wasn't. No, you're right.
Whole lie wasn't just, oh, I don't know Powerline. It was like, I know Powerline. We're going across country to see him. My dad knows him. And we're getting on stage. He basically cleared up every lie except for, I don't know, Powerline, and that's all he had to say.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay. What are your feelings on Roxanne?
What do you mean?
Like, what are this your... Seems like,
she's fine. She's in the fine. Movie for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't think she's maybe a bit of a bitch?
I mean, she... I think she's... One, I will say this. I do think there is a kind of a bad move she does where he goes, I gotta go out of town. Mm. And I'm sorry, at that age, my parents are dragging me out of town. There's nothing I can do. Is like the greatest excuse ever.
Oh, it's very
you
real.
You can't chat. Yes. I want to go see the movie with you this weekend, but my dad's taking me to see my grandma. Like, and like you go like, we go like, okay, let's reschedule that.
That was
like,
pretty spot on. That was pretty spot on, buddy. That was good.
So like the fact that she gets that news and one is kind of too dumb to be like, oh, that's what's really happening. And she says, well, I guess I'll find someone else to go to the party with. And it's like, well, you just can't go to that party. You know, like, can we go get... I mean, here's the thing. They're cartoon dogs and they're teenagers. And listen. I can sit here and go, and well, then just ask her to a movie when you get back.
Oh, you know, no, all I'm saying is her move, the move on her part, and I don't like it, is, well, I guess I'll go with somebody else.
Yeah.
Sweet Jesus.
And it's also like a house party where you're watching a concert. This isn't a dance where you need a date.
No. You can roll up to your best friend's house.
Yeah, where your whole class is just watching a pay-per-view. Like, that's barely a party.
Or even think silently. I'm going to bring somebody else.
Yeah. You got a number two to Max Goof? Fine.
Yeah.
You got a second runner-up to that. I mean, hey, the laugh does it for you. I'm glad it does, Roxanne. You know, I don't know how to evaluate whether or not Max is an attractive.
nearly impossible. I don't know.
Goofy isn't, for sure.
No, I don't think so.
Although Goofy might be, it's very funny to think that, like, you know how you see those people who, like, as they're older, like Steve Buscemi or whatever, and you're like, then you see them as a young person, they're like, damn! Yeah. Oh, Steve Buscemi, like firefighter Steve Buscemi? Like, you kidding me? Like, picturing Goofy as one
There's
of those
like
guys?
There's like a young, hot Goofy.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like,
God.
Goofy as a kid? Yeah, man. Like, Donald Duck just sitting there being like, yeah, man, Goofy could get it back in the day. Many a night where it was just Mickey and I sitting at the bar being like, well, guess we can't go back to the room quite yet.
Oh, God. There's a reason Goofy has to wear pants.
Oh, no. We've gone too far.
That's enough.
Leave a tie on the doorknob.
I'm so sorry to anyone listening to this. We have... This got way more sexual as an episode than I thought it was going to.
I'm sorry, I just pictured Mickey Mouse being like, hey, you think we can go back to our room yet, Donald? And Donald just be like,
oh my God.
Just so mad.
What's happening?
We are out of control. We're out. We're done. We're tapping out. I don't think we should make another point.
No, I think
we just got to eject.
I'm willing to end it on Goofy could get it when he was younger.
Oh, man, this is weird. Okay. Holy shit. Okay, so I guess it's it must be time for our rankings of the villain. What do you got for us?
Yeah, so I've got the embarrassing laugh scale. So on a scale of from a snort to a yuck, I'm giving Pete a good spit take. You know, a spit take, because it's a little bit much at times, but you know, it's pretty genuine. You know,
that's good. Yeah, I get that one. I've got the cheese scale because honestly, every cheese thing in this movie looks incredible. I don't know if that's just me, but I'm like, I would eat all of that. Anyway, so I'm ranking Pete from a gas station cheese curds, which are delicious, up to a finely aged wheel of cheese, dealer's choice, whatever your choice is there. I'm going to give him a cheese on a Pizza Hut pizza. Kind of greasy. No lie. But he'll do in a pinch. Yeah. He'll do in a pinch. Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Love it.
Anyway, guys, as usual, there's a couple of ways you can help out the podcast. If you guys want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at VWR Podcast on Twitter. You can get at us on Facebook at Villain Was Right. And if you want to email us, you can email us at villainwasright@gmail.com if you want to send us some stories or some fun stuff or what have you. And if you got a couple of bucks.
Yeah, absolutely. You can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/thevillainwasright. Patreon is a monthly subscription service where you get to support the artists that you like. And hopefully that is us. And one of our tiers is our audience choice. This was an audience choice episode. Our patrons, our henchies, as we call them, voted and this one out. So if you want your say in what we do, you can sign up at our Two-Face level tier and have your say. As well, a bit of a big change. We do have a $1 level, and one thing we have changed is the $1 level is now ad-free. So if you want access to these episodes ad-free on Thursdays, you can sign up at the $1 level. And thank you so much for supporting us. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for telling our friends about us. And now it is time for our hero and villain of the week. What do you got, Rebecca?
Oh, I've got just a light hero, just somebody that kind of, you know, somebody you don't really know, but, you know, they work at a place that you frequent and you kind of know them. You know what I mean? Anyway, so there's this one woman. She works at a Loblaw. I don't shop at Loblaws a lot, but every time when I want like something fancy, I might go in there, spend a couple of bucks. Right. So every once in a while, I'll go in there and there's this one woman that's cashed me out a couple of times. And I love her so much because, and this is going to sound so stupid. I'm a lady who likes her candy. Okay, I love candy, I love sugar, I love chocolate, I'm a big candy fan. Anyway, so this woman's a very, very chatty lady. Like, she's telling me about her life, whatever. She's kind of a no-filter gal, which I can respect, obviously, one of those myself. But the thing I love about her and the thing that really makes my day every time is she makes such a big deal about whatever candy I'm buying.
Oh,
and it's
great.
So funny. And I just find it so sincere and adorable. And I love it. And I think it's just so nice that she just makes, she's like, oh, these, these ones are the best ones. I bought 3 packs of those. Those are the best ones. And then she keeps going, oh, I haven't tried these yet. These look great. Haven't tried these yet. They look amazing. I'm like, I know some people don't. I fucking love that shit. I just think it's so fun. And it really makes me feel like I bought the right candy. So yeah. Anyway, I'm making her my hero of the week.
Yeah, because sometimes you just need relationships that are that.
Yes!
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree 100%. I love that. So I've got a bit of a story for you. So I've got two heroes in this story here. Two little heroes, all related. So I didn't want to break them up. But basically, a couple weekends ago, as this comes out, Kat and I went to my cousin's wedding. So, like, first wedding I've been to in years. Lots of fun. But just the way, like, timing worked out, it's like we had to go down, like, Saturday wedding, but we had to go down on the Friday and check into the hotel because we wouldn't have time to, you know, get dressed and catch the shuttle bus and all the rest of that. So we go down Friday night for the Saturday wedding. And we check in, and at the check-in, they're like, oh, well, you reserved a king-size bed. Because, you know, you're going to go stay in a hotel. You're going to get the king. You know what I mean? Like, we're on vacation here. Okay. Right? You got luxury. But they're like, we don't have any kings available. We only have rooms with 2 queens. And we're like, I mean, what's the point of reserving the room anyway? Anyway, you know, if you're not going to have it, but, like, fine, we'll sleep in the queen. So we go in and, like, long day. Like, we got in late Friday. We tried to go down to, like, just the hotel bar, but that's closed. We're like, all right, we'll go back to the room. And I am exhausted. I end up passing out on the bed right away. And Kat's like, well, you know what? I'm going to stay up a little later because I'm not tired yet. But I'm going to play on my Switch and my phone or whatever. But I'm just going to go sit on the other bed over there so the light doesn't keep you up. And then she goes and sits over the bed and proceeds to fall asleep in that bed. So we wake up and like see each other like across the room, like in separate beds. And they're like, there's this brief moment where we're like, are you mad at me? Are you mad? Are we? And then we're like, no, we're good. We just fell asleep in other beds. And then we were both like, and that was amazing.
Oh,
and we
no!
were like, this is so good. We slept so well. And then to the point where we're like, you want to do it again tomorrow? Like we're like, so, and we did. So that was just like kind of this real nice, like, hey, vacation, separate beds. Very fun. Yeah, it's all good. But anyway, so like Saturday comes, we're actually at the wedding.
Okay.
And the way that this room is set up, right? Like it's like, you know, the wedding and now everyone's doing speeches. But the speeches are happening kind of like right in the middle of the room with like everyone like looking at them. So like in order to go to the bathroom, you would have to like walk through the area that the speeches are happening. So nobody's going to the bathroom.
It's like when the bathroom's right next to the stage when you're on a show and you're like, this is so, as soon as I get off stage, everybody's going to run to pee. This is so bad.
So there's like maybe a quarter of the room that could like squeak by and get to the bathrooms, but the rest of us would have to like walk right by it. So nobody's getting up during the speeches, which means that, so the mother of the bride is doing her speech and it's like long and long. She finishes, huge rush at the bathroom. So like there's just, I'm there. There's all these guys like shoulder to shoulder at the urinals, like everyone wearing suits and everything. Everyone being quiet as you are. And then all of a sudden, just like out of the silence, comes this kid's voice. And the kid just says, "Dad, I'll be honest. I was bored at that part because that lady kept talking and I hadn't had enough food yet." And the whole line of you guys at the urinal just break out laughing. Like, I mean, like, from the mouth of babes. Like, I mean, like, that's, like, other guys are like, that's what a wedding speech is. Like, just, and, like, the whole, like, everybody, like, left that washroom just howling with laughter because this kid has perfectly described the exact problem with every wedding
speech.
Every
wedding of all time.
So that kid is my hero. Accidental double separate beds is my hero.
That's so fucking funny.
I was bored at that part because the lady kept talking and I hadn't had enough food to eat yet. What a...
Oh, my God. That's great. Oh, okay, perfect. I love a child's honesty. I'm into it. Guys, as always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on any platform of your choosing.
Yes, absolutely. And you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook, Twitter, CraigFaye.com. I have a newsletter or an email list. Go ahead on CraigFaye.com and set that up. And I think, yeah.
Okay. Well, guys, that's it for us this week. Look forward to next week, guys. We're doing a big one. This is the big one, guys. We're doing Legend of Korra. We watched all four seasons, team. We did it for you. Okay, so stay tuned for that episode, guys. And this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you to embrace your embarrassing dad.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.